Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, 10:02 on ESPN 97.5. You won't hear Lance until, well, that's 9 days, 10 days away now. So you get a break from Lance. And Joel gets a break from Lance. Joel needs a break from Lance.
By the way, okay? Lance didn't take off his mic condom again.
He left his mic condom.
Yeah, after all that discussion, he left it on. And didn't spray down anything.
He didn't spray down anything. He just rolled out mic condom. Yeah. Joel, guess what?
Left that loud ass those loud ass headphones plugged in too. Yeah, nothing.
But the good thing is that since I'm not in there, they've got an hour to go in there and desanitize before their show.
And they're gonna need it because none of that discussion hit home. Like sometimes you have a talk with someone, someone confronts you with something, and it strikes a chord. Nothing, just left.
Right. You tell your kid, you know, hey, stop stealing cars. So like maybe for the next couple nights. He doesn't steal any cars.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then you know what? You feel like it hit home. Then you know, he forgot. He forgot the talk you had. Okay.
And he takes
another car. He starts stealing cars again.
Lance can't ever hit his kids with, why don't you ever listen? We just talked about this.
Right. No. He was just told how filthy he is. All the filth and flooring around him. And what? Nothing.
Nothing. Rolled out.
Oh, my goodness. He's something. He's just something. So now Joel's got to go in there and clean and desanitize and sanitize before he starts his show.
Yeah, Joel, I don't know where you are if you're listening or not. I'll tell you if you – well, who knows. But you're going to have to clean up. Lance didn't do a thing. He dipped, and it's as dirty as it was 5 minutes before you talked to him.
Was Lance dipping in there too?
No, I just dip. He dipped out is what I meant. He left.
No,
he, like Major League Baseball players, are not dipping anymore.
Not dipping. Did you – okay, so when I was in Arlington for the Roughnecks game in which we beat Dallas's ass, there the construction for the Rangers' new park was going on. And I'm telling you, it looked almost identical to Minute Maid Park. And the guy who designed it, or who built Minute Maid Park, Rob Matwick. He was the overseer. He didn't build it, but he oversaw for both teams the construction of their stadiums. And I was like, Rob, dude, why didn't you did you just copy Minute Maid? Oh no, it's different. There's a lot of it's different. You'll see. It's not done yet, but it's going to be different. Well, turns out it's a lot different. Have you seen the pictures of it?
Yeah, it has been roasted since its completion, and yeah, if you look at the design of it, at least the images we got before they actually built it, like it looks like a glass building. You can see through it. Instead, it just looks like a Home Depot or a box or like a place where you store stuff.
A shed.
Yeah, a giant shed.
It looks like, you know, one of the pictures, because it's got a picture, and it's just this metal building with a T on it for the Rangers logo, And it just looks like a shed. If it was miniature, you would think, oh, that's just a shed. That's all it is. But it's big, so it houses an entire baseball team, and it's a stadium. But they put the Home Depot logo on it and a Home Depot roof that comes down. Now I'm looking at one that it's picked up and there's a barbecue going on. It's the lid of a grill.
Yeah.
It actually looks like the lid of a grill.
And I'm just looking at the initial images that they put out there to say, hey, this is what it's going to look like. They gave the impression that the part where they put the T would be glass, and you could see, you could see through it on those images. But it's not glass; it looks like aluminum.
It is, yes. So is that glass or is that aluminum? Because it looks just like aluminum.
No, because it doesn't look like you can see through it or sunlight can go through it. Because that's what the initial images look like. It just looks like. I'm assuming it's not aluminum, but that's what it looks like. That they all the trolling they're getting is well deserved.
It is unbelievable that that's what they thought. It's like at Soldier Field. That is the worst looking building I've ever seen. It's a wonderful Chicago historical monument of Soldier Field with the pillars and old Roman look. I mean, it looks like old Roman look. And then they just landed a spaceship in it. And it's just so, but this rivals it in how horrific it is.
Yeah, people are tweeting out Instagram versus real life in reference to what they told the public it was going to look like, and as opposed to what it actually does. It looks like they screwed it up. I mean, because it looks idyllic as far as what they sold everyone, but it actually looks like a grill in terms of real life.
Yeah, or a shed, like just a regular shed, like that maybe holds a car or two. That's what it looks like, an old just a shed that you see on the side of the road. It looks like a trailer, a shed place, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like the original drawings that somehow they messed up, and they were like, oh, man, this glass isn't going to work. You know what? Let's just put all this aluminum around it.
Yeah, to your point, it feels like, all right, the glass isn't structurally sound for some reason, so we have to find a way to make this work. Because I don't know how you got from the original pictures to what they provided to their fans. I mean, you can on ground when you look at the pictures, probably on ground level, you can see some of the foliage that they mm-hmm. wanted to have. You can see some of that stuff for the real shots. But as far as the actual stadium itself, it is not representative of what they sold to people.
No, it looks like sheet metal. They just put sheet metal all over the top of it, all over the entire ballpark. What the hell, Rob Matwick?
It's no.
What did you do?
No surprise the Rangers would screw something up.
Holy crap, does that look terrible. I'm glad. I'm so happy. Yeah, because it still has that old brick. Now, had you ever been to Globe Life Park?
No, but I've seen images, and it has that brick facade type
that
thing.
The brown brick. Yeah. It actually is a good-looking stadium.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. No, it's a good-looking stadium. It's just so bleeping hot in there because there's no – it goes up. There is no outfield, you know, the stands aren't outside. It goes up all the way around, even above the upper decks, and there's no air ventilation in the whole place. So all of the hot air, 100-degree nights, stay inside of the park, and it's just – it's an oven is all it is. It's a giant oven. So that was, you know, horrifically designed. So they said we got to have a retractable roof. I don't know why they need a retractable roof because, well, maybe at the end in September it'll be nice in there and they'll be able to play outside. But my goodness, you could not have messed this up worse. I'm so happy for the Rangers. You suck. Rangers, you suck.
Congratulations.
Because you wouldn't let the Astros play there during the hurricane.
Someone lined up a picture of the, I guess, something called the Chernobyl sarcophagus. Right next to it. And, I mean, I could see the resemblance. It's a big structure that's just all that. It's obviously not aluminum, this structure, but it just looks like it has that aluminum look to it. And the Ranger Stadium isn't that much different. And they may have the ugliest ballpark, certainly the ugliest new ballpark in maybe all of sports. Now, Soldier Field was redesigned. They built around the original structure. But as far as completely new ballparks, I don't know if there's one uglier.
No. I'll tell you, the other one is Comiskey that they just threw together, and it looks like a hospital that was just so poorly done. They're going to need a new – I mean, listen, the Rangers Park isn't that – What the Braves, they played in their new park for about 3 years maybe, and then they had to build another one.
Yeah, Turner Field was built started in 97, right? Right
the
around
Falcons,
there.
Didn't the Falcons do the same thing?
The Georgia Dome as a whole isn't that old as far as, okay, we need a new one. It's not that old.
No. And neither was Turner Field.
No, 97 for Turner Field. The Georgia Dome was opened in 92. So it lasted, 25 years.
Yeah, a stadium needs to last more than 25 years. A stadium needs to last. That's over a billion dollars to build a stadium now. You know what they need to last? I don't know, 50, 60 years maybe? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but Arthur Blank was like, nah, I'm not. I bought the team. We're going to find it. We're going to get a new stadium. Maybe that's simply new ownership will do that. And I imagine the NFL said, you're probably not going to get another Super Bowl here if you don't build another one. And so he got another one built. And it's a beautiful thing if you like that whole – well, that one has been criticized too because of how it opens. I mean, it makes you think of a certain part of the anatomy. That's all. But yeah, 92 for Atlanta, then 97. They've built new parks within the last 25 years for both of their major sports teams.
Unbelievable.
Like, neither of them lasted as long as they should have lasted.
I better not, you know, and here's the deal, is that we better not hear that. If we hear that here from Jim Crane or the McNairs or from Tillman, don't, because we had the battle with Bud and lost the team over it. That ain't happening, boys. Enjoy your playpens. Yeah, we ain't building you no more.
And Minute Maid feels like could be one of those timeless things. I mean, you have all the amenities in terms of the retractable roof when it's hot, and then you can open it when there's better weather. I don't see Minute Maid as one of those places that's going to become obsolete. I think that's a park that's going to last a long
time. It will. Yeah. It absolutely will. Yeah,
Well, NRG,
NRG.
That one doesn't have much personality. I mean,
and neither does Toyota Center. If you know the truth.
Yeah, if you were looking for aesthetics, you would go, okay, build another one. But no, you can't. The NRG's gonna be. It has to be. It has to stay.
You know what has character is I really liked is American Airlines in Dallas.
Yeah, I've heard one is pretty good.
It's got an old time gymnasium feel to it. It's really well lit and well designed and. That's a great place to watch a basketball game. Toyota Center, I think they've made it too luxurious.
There's no personality for that thing.
It doesn't have any.
They would have to carve it out and start anew, and I'm not sure how structurally that would work. But yeah, if they're gonna make changes, it'd have to be aesthetics on the inside. But I don't see you building something else. And how long has Toyota Center been around now?
What they need to do, you need to go. And it's just amazing to me. You go if you're going to build a baseball stadium. Go to Camden Yards, go to Coors Field, go to Fenway and Wrigley, and try to get some combination of them. If you're going to build a basketball arena, go to Indiana and Dallas and Sacramento, because they are awesome, all awesome stadiums. And if you're going to build a football stadium, I don't know.
Well, you have one in mind. I don't know.
No. Because we got to do a dome here, and I don't know. There's no dome that really is. There's no dome that's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm not a stickler for a tradition, but one of the things I love is particularly in college football, natural grass and it being outside.
Yep.
Now we know a lot of multiple championship games are played inside now. Fortunately for Arizona, that they have a grass field, but it feels like it takes something away from the experience when you're inside and you're playing on turf to the side. The title and in the games in terms of its biggest game, the game's biggest moment, it's inside on field turf. It takes away from it for me. I don't know why.
It's better. Like the Rose Bowl is just better.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that Ohio State and Michigan, two traditional powers, are on field turf. Why is Texas on field turf? I'm sure they have a reason for it. You're in the South. Why are you playing games on field turf?
Mm-hmm. 1016 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Come on.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
More obvious that it was going to happen, Drew Brees is going to write a check to sponsor an event, which is the Black College Football Hall of Fame's Road to Equality event next month. More obvious that, or Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach getting behind the trying to get rid of the Mississippi state flag?
I feel the second choice, because those two benefit greatly if players around the country, particularly in the South, say, hey, Mississippi seems like a place I would be, because they've decided to remove that flag. Drew Brees thing, I mean, sure, it looks good, but would it have really affected his career going forward if he didn't get involved? I think this one is more certain. I think the Leach Kiffin thing, they may be genuine in their feelings, but it's more self-serving.
And I don't know. If Drew Brees doesn't have his team behind him, if his guys are like with a wary eye and saying, you know, we don't want to play with this dude. I mean, that 50 million dudes got on the line now. If they're like, oh, we don't want this guy around.
Oh, it wasn't.
You know, I don't know.
I don't remember the reaction, because I thought initially after he apologized, everyone was like, okay, Drew, you're good. Like his teammates. The only one who got after him was Jenkins. I don't remember the rest of his – and Michael Thomas has something to say. But I felt like that kind of blew over. But I do – and who knows? I don't know the locker room, but Drew Brees has always been respected. And I think it's easier to mend fences just in the locker room, and he wouldn't have to do what he had to do. I don't think there's any way Kiffin and Leach couldn't be behind this. Like, because it's not just them, it's other coaches in Mississippi as well. I think they had to be like all in, because if you're going up against, yeah, let's say Missouri for a recruit,
right?
And what, Kiffin, well, and Leach weren't involved in this? Why would you want to go play there?
And there's no downside. There's zero. I mean, oh, well, I guess you could have, you're going to have, are you going to have a lot of Ole Miss fans and Mississippi State fans that are no longer going to support the university because they want their Confederate flag?
Maybe.
I guess. But you know what you say? Screw you. I need Kylin Hill. True. I need Kylin Hill more than I need you.
As upset as they would be with Kiffin or Leach for supporting this particular action, they'd be more upset when they don't get good players, and they would want yeah, them fired. So
right,
yeah,
right. No. We can't get any. Oh, guess what? We can't get any African Americans to come to our school now because of this. Guess what? You're going to be watching Yale football. Congratulations.
Could you imagine a time where the Mississippi State football team looked like Yale?
Well. Yeah, I can. I watched it. I saw Ole Miss in 1958.
Well,
yeah,
you make a point there. They right, once at one point did do that or look like that.
Wow, unbelievable!
But I will say the Drew Brees thing's not surprising. He was going to go all.
Oh,
out.
He's got to, dude. Yeah, he's going to be the first one out front. He'll be at the 50-yard line kneeling. Are you kidding me? Drew Brees is going to be out there. Hey, you're not kneeling. Kneel. Get down.
He's the kneel police now.
He is.
No, Drew, I swear, I just had ACL surgery. It's not good for me to kneel. I don't care.
Kneel.
Or you shouldn't be out with here.
If you ain't with us, you're against us. He's going to criticize everybody who doesn't kneel now.
I do wonder how vocal he will be this year when he's asked, or what he will say when he's asked questions, considering his 180 on the issue after he was either educated or he caught so much heat he didn't want to deal with it anymore. I saw pictures of people putting dashikis on Drew Brees and traditional African garb, because that's how into it he's going to be from now on.
He is. No, I've seen that too. That's funny. He is going to be all in. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see Leach on the sidelines either. Look, Kylin, come back, Kylin.
Well, at least in training camp to get him on the field.
I'm starting to, I hate to say this, but I'm starting to like Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer ain't scared of the Players Association, and he ain't scared to say, hey, idiots, what are you doing? Bauer, so he's on the board, and he kind of felt like he and Daniel Murphy both voted yes to ratify the agreement that failed 33-5. And apparently, it's not a very welcoming group, that NFL PA board. Those 38 players, apparently, if you ain't on board with all we're after is that billion-dollar grievance, then you're canceled with those guys.
And he was very vocal early when it came to this, because you know he threw the shots at Scott Boras about how he had an undue influence on all of this, and he tweeted out about how right after the vote got voted down, or at least the action got voted down, about how, are we really going to do this, guys?
All the things that they lost just to file the grievance.
Yeah.
And they lost a bunch of stuff. The early payment forgiveness they lost. They lost 16-team playoff. They lost a bunch of, I think, more players on the roster. They lost a bunch of stuff. So, and he was vocal in saying, this is really, guys, just to get this, and we might not win the grievance. He says he sometimes felt marginalized when they did try to engage and express views that differed from prominent voices on the executive board, and he wasn't alone. He was frozen out by Clark and Myers Union. One source said that the executive board member Daniel Murphy, a yes vote, was isolated by some of his fellow players as well. Maybe Major League Baseball players aren't that inclusive.
Well, we heard this talk about, and Kyrie felt the brunt of it because he's Kyrie. He said wacky things. People don't want to hear from Kyrie. But Kyrie kind of pushed that talk about the NBA PA, that they weren't necessarily listening to the views of all. And it was the superstars pushing what they wanted without hearing the voices of everyone who had an opinion on it. So imagine Trevor Bauer and Kyrie Irving as two men of the people, at least the people in terms of the rank and file when it comes to the players.
Yeah, I don't know if I agreed with Kyrie, though, as much as I agree. Bauer wanted the baseball to stop looking like a bunch of a-holes. And Rob Manfred just said it yesterday as well. He said, hey, we got a lot of work to do here, guys, especially if we're going to come to a collective bargaining agreement. We really need to try to get together so we don't look as bad as we did. And he's absolutely right. Trevor Bauer was absolutely right. Now, Kyrie, you know, said, oh, we shouldn't play because it'll hurt the protest movement. I don't know. It'll distract everybody from the movement.
I will say there is no basketball being played, and it's not like – people, that stuff is trending on Twitter. Now, that isn't the only measure of what is important, but if we're talking about distracted, it wasn't going to take basketball to distract people. Hey, whatever's on TNT tonight is going to distract people. And now there are other people who will not be distracted, but the people who can be distracted, basketball wasn't going to be the thing that did it.
Well, most of the people are protesting or watching golf right now. That's the distraction.
Well, I always blame golf for things, but I'm not going to blame it for that.
Yeah, no. It's halted the movement more or less, because most everybody that's going to be out there protesting is probably just, oh man, what did Phil shoot? By the way, Phil was 6 under, just so you know. So you know.
Huh. And you tell me every week that golf is always on. What network will it be on this week, on the weekend?
This week, it's always on. I don't know. So, is it CBS? Or I don't know. Could be NBC.
Oh, look how important it is. You don't even know what channel it's on.
Oh, don't worry. I'll find it.
If I told you Alabama LSU is going to be on, would you have to guess what network it was going to be on a Friday, the
Are
day
you
before the game?
The Travelers? The LSU Alabama is the Masters, and I know what station it's on.
It's not the Masters.
The Travelers ain't Alabama LSU.
Well, I thought
it's LSU Troy.
Golf isn't. Well, you know it's going to be on ESPN. I would know
it's
that.
Still got something everybody has to watch. But it ain't the Masters. Okay?
All I'm pointing out to you is golf ain't important if you're scrambling to know what channel it's on.
I don't scramble. All I do is turn on Channel 11, or I turn on NBC. One of those.
And
two.
Then you freak out when it's actually on the golf channel.
And it's on the golf channel. Oh well. Great.
Yeah, you had to guess.
Perfect.
I won't have to guess when an NFL game is on. I know what network it's on because that's important.
Don't. No, you don't. They switch. Yeah. Yeah. No. They switch.
Texans versus Titans. What network is that going to be on, John?
Well, sometimes, you know what? They just kind of switch it up on you.
That'll be
sometimes
on CBS.
Sometimes CBS. No. Sometimes Fox has an AFC game.
Yeah. There are two channels. Yeah. And you know what? I would know beforehand. I wouldn't get confused.
Channel. Oh, or it's on ESPN, Dal. What?
Not
case
on a
closed.
Not
you
on a,
lose again.
Not on a Sunday, John.
You lose.
Not on a. It's not on ESPN on a Sunday.
Listen, I got. You know what is on? CBD oil. American Shaman CBD oil. High quality CBD products. Locally owned and operated. There's over 30 locations of American Shaman CBD. Now, American Shaman CBD is different because it is water. It's got proprietary nanotechnology, which it breaks down the particle size of the CBD to make it water soluble. The other ones don't. It's still like oil and water, where it doesn't totally mix with the water, and that happens with the other CBD oil. It's oil and water; they don't mix all the time. Well, this is absorbed in the bloodstream much quicker and efficiently than regular CBD oil because it has proprietary nanotechnology. It helps me with stress. I'm telling you, I am playing so much better poker. I'm telling you, I really, really am. Calmness, relaxation, positive, healthy mood, quality sleep, healthy joint function, natural sleep, immune system, relieves everyday stress. And by the way, if you're stressful with the 4th of July coming, then your dog is too. Well, then get some CBD oil because it will help. It helps me, and it can promote calmness and relaxation. The best in nature, enhanced by science. Visit shopcbdtx.com. Shopcbdtx.com.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
So, we haven't talked about it in a while. Our Astros stuck their foot in it again. It's just so unbelievable how poorly this organization has reacted. I mean, it's just so. I mean, Jim Crane can't be a smarter guy, but he definitely needs a PR. The handling of Taubman from the handling of Taubman on it, to the handling of the cheating, to that press conference, to the hostage video with Bregman and Altuve having to read their statement, to now this. Where we're going to have fans so we can sell beer. I mean, when there's 97% of the beds in this city, I mean, I'm not taking this, but now they're just getting destroyed. Just destroyed on national shows. National USA Today wrote an entire article about how tone deaf and greedy and just a sign that this organization of how it is run. And that's why they, you know, that's why they've become the most hated team in all of sports. And I think that might be accurate. You think that might be accurate that the Astros are maybe the most hated team in all of sports?
Currently or ever?
Currently. I mean, a bunch of people hate the Yankees, obviously, because they're the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's a long-standing thing. But yeah. New hate burns hotter. I think the Astros in ranking, if you just gave people a list, they'd probably have the Astros at one.
Yeah.
Maybe limited to baseball people in general, just baseball people, because who knows, some people just don't will pick like Auburn people would pick Alabama, just how it is. But the general non-rivalry fan would probably say the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, even, yeah. Like Red Sox will pick the Yankees will pick the Red Sox. But no, the Yankees will take, the Dodgers will take the Astros. The Yankees will take the Astros now. With Yankee fan, the Astros have probably surpassed the Red Sox in hate. I could see that.
Yeah, they believe, even though they cheated as well, that the Astros robbed them of maybe multiple World Series.
Right. And despite their own cheating ways, make no mistake about it, Dodger fan, but that this organization has just screwed this up so many. What the hell? What the hell? Don't speak. This has been a good, you know what? Since COVID, honestly, the vitriol, and because, I mean, I'll probably ease up with a lot of people. Yankee fan is still Yankee fan and still hates, and Dodger fan is still Dodger fan. But there are probably a lot, but every time they seem to come out, don't say anything. Just no press conferences. We're not talking to anybody. We're not, you know what? We're just going to go and play baseball. That's all.
The best part for the Astros' reputation was being out of sight and out of mind. Now,
yeah,
a pandemic unfortunately had led to that, but no one needed to hear from them. No one cared enough because there are more important things going on. Now, the first time Jim Crane feels like he speaks, it infuriates everyone all over again. And you become a story on this network, at least this station, because network programming pretty much led into this show ripping the Astros.
And it's funny, Jim Crane he's a nice guy, and he's a smart businessman. But you know what? It ultimately, I know it falls on Luno. He's the one that hired Luno, but they created, and I don't, is it a horrible thing to create an organization that just is about winning? Is it so horrible? Well, the fact that you would do anything, though, including cheating, to win, and that's the atmosphere. Apparently, the atmosphere under Luno was just not very good. Yeah, we talked about it before. Sid and all of the guys under, you know, after they won the World Series, you're like, why are all these guys leaving? Where's everybody going? Every year, Jeff, out of the front office, more people would just go. And you know, I think Richie was one of the first ones that brought up culture, the culture of the organization. And then it became, you know, Jeff Passan turned it into just a hateful, that culture. The Astros culture became a culture of hate, it was just such a negative, as opposed to the Astro ball, which described it as so efficient, so smart. They were smarter than everybody, but it was a win at all costs atmosphere.
Before the cheating stuff came out and before the Osuna stuff, you could look at it and say, well, people are leaving because they're getting promotions, because that's what happens. You do well in one spot, then you go someplace else, and because someone loves your work. It turns out, at least a part of it was, hey, I need to get out of here. It's not very comfortable working here. It turned out that might have led to some of it as well. I don't think it's bad, certainly, to create an atmosphere where winning is the most important thing. But it's apparent the Astros stepped too far over that winning is important. Like, you know the line, winning isn't the – what is it? Winning is the only thing. I felt, at least it appears, that that was the thing. It became the only thing as opposed to the most important thing. Because you can find a way to mitigate or at least combine winning with having an atmosphere that doesn't make people uncomfortable to work there.
And apparently it was that. And, you know, I know some people that aren't there anymore that were like, you know, it's just a shame. It's just a shame because it's a 180 from what we thought it was, with just the most wonderful clubhouse, guys that loved each other, just a great place to be around, and everybody, you know, it just seemed like, man, that was the most fun team to watch and root for, because of how hard they played and how, you know, they did everything right and they loved each other and they had fun. And it turns out it was all, you know.
Well, the front.
I don't want to say it was all a lie. They still had to do it all.
Yeah, and the front-facing part of the organization, you know, the part of the organization we care the most about because they're on the field, though they're still those guys in terms of how much fun they had and just a joy to watch, except the way they gained some competitive advantage is something that's against the rules. But I don't think that part, the one you probably cared about the most, because, I mean, we work in radio, so we discuss Luno and the front office. But as far as just day-to-day, all people care about are the games and the players who provide them with that entertainment. I think that stuff still rings true with people. There, but then that is that whole catch in the back of your mind, or maybe the forefront. Oh yeah, but they did this because I know we know some people are like, no, we don't. I don't care. They're my Astros. I love them. Then there are other people who are like, they're my team, but yeah, they still did this thing, and it sucks because it changes what I thought was a great 2017.
No, it changed a lot. It changed. I don't want to say it changed everything, but it certainly changed the attitude of, you know, that's our team. How proud we were of them. That certainly has changed. That certainly has changed. All right, News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. It's our last one until June 6th, so don't you go anywhere. July, I mean.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is our last segment for 10 days. We'll be back on July 6th. July 6th, yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to drown your sorrows with that fact, better head to your local establishment within the next hour. Because Governor Abbott is shut down going to bars. Unless you want a takeout delivery of alcohol that's the only way. You cannot be in a bar after noon drinking. If they make 51% of their money from alcohol beverages?
Yeah, 51% is alcohol. Now, I talked to Nick, and Nick said he's closing the bar, but he's going to keep the restaurant area open.
Okay.
So you can sit at the tables and you can eat and drink at the tables, but you can't sit at the bar. So, and it's only 50% capacity there. So that's what he's going to do. That's how Nick's doing it. A lot of good stories in here, Dale. So let's get to them. Texas Realtor Group says it will no longer use the word master to describe bedrooms and bathrooms in its listings. Hmm. Instead, they're going to use Masta.
No, that's not true.
Soft A.
No, that's not true. That's your joke.
The Houston Association of Realtors will use primary to describe bedrooms and bathrooms instead of Masta. So,
These are
if you're going to be buying in the Houston area, which you will be, you're in the Houston area, guess what?
I imagine
you're not going to say master bedroom anymore.
I imagine I am one of the people, because I'm black, that they don't want to offend, so they're changing it to primary. It has never crossed my mind that would be offensive.
That's what that means.
Yeah, it has never been something where I'm like, well, I think you should change it. And you know what? I don't know the origins of master bedroom. It might be about that. Maybe that's what in plantations that particular area was called. But honestly, it had never crossed my mind. So. I wasn't offended before. I guess I appreciate the efforts. If that's the origin of it, I really don't know.
This is not a surprising story. A CEO had to resign after LGBT censorship, allegations of racism, and harassment. What do you think he was the CEO of?
I don't know, John. Tell the people.
The CEO of the Canadian Museum for Human Rights.
It's a tough beat for that guy.
Yeah. It's kind of, did he go in every day just hating his job? Man, I got to be nice to these people.
Why would you take that job?
Of all the jobs in the world, I guess CEO is going to pay well, but
that makes
honestly,
sense.
Can't you be the CEO of, I don't know. Did you see the KKK hoods that were found next to the cooler, Bubba Wallace's cooler?
No, that's not.
They were
real.
No. They were those cone Dixie cups.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, yeah, I mean, the whole Bubba Wallace thing, it has become memeable. And people, yes. I said it yesterday, a couple of days ago, people were talking about, well, my phone charger was in a loop. I think that's a noose. Oh, no, it's just my phone charger. People took to the Twitter streets to get their jokes off. And then, as you pointed out, we pointed out earlier, no, it actually was a noose, but I don't think that's going to stop the jokes.
That is so funny. I'm pretty sure that Michigan State representative, he's running for state rep, and I'm pretty sure he might have a hard time winning. His name is Robert Reagan. His daughter tweeted this out, and it's become viral. If you're in Michigan and 18 plus, please, for the love of God, do not vote for my dad for state rep. Tell everyone.
Damn.
Wow.
That's some treasonous stuff within the family.
If you can't get an endorsement from your daughter, as a matter of fact, if your daughter is endorsing voting for the other candidate, that's going to be a tough sell to the – I mean, I don't even know you.
Did she explain why? Does she just want her dad at home? What?
Her name is Stephanie Reagan, and apparently he said, I am happy that she feels confident enough in our relationship to express her opposing thoughts so publicly.
It wasn't just her. In a quote, my daughter Stephanie and Natalie both sent out tweets, and I think it said something to the effect of, for the love of God, don't vote for my dad. Mm-hmm. So both of his daughters were like,
wow,
don't do it.
Here's what he said. A lot of students, when they go off to these liberal universities and campuses like the University of Colorado, the University of Texas at Austin, and she went to the University of Colorado in Boulder, and, you know, they just kind of get sucked into the Marxist communist ideology. Well, all right.
His daughters don't live with him. They are a product of a divorce, so maybe that has less to do with them being Marxist and more maybe they don't appreciate you as a father.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And, yeah, that could possibly – I don't like his chances now, though. I just don't.
I don't know. He called them Marxist and socialist, so maybe that'll get him votes.
That might. That could help. Apparently, there's a 30-year-old in Kolkata. Oh, no, a Birbham resident. Kolkata, married for the last 9 years, was under treatment for abdominal pain, during which doctors discovered that she was a man suffering from testicular cancer. Two of her aunts from the maternal side were also suffering from a similar condition. You are 30 years old and you didn't know that you were a man. Seems like
there's so many questions. Like
so many.
Like was she not born with that, with the penis, and that's why she didn't know? But she still has. There are questions that can't be answered on this show. I might actually have to go do research after the show to figure out what the hell that happened. Joel just walked in. He pointed at the mic condom. Yeah, Joel. He didn't clean up anything. He didn't clean up a thing.
Not a thing, Joel.
Yeah. Not
you still got the condom on, the mic condom on there, Joel?
It is, and Joel has a face mask on, but I told him. Lance don't care.
I imagine he's got an ugly frown under that face mask.
We got a question. would Frankie tell the world not to vote for you?
No, Frankie would tell everybody, vote for my dad. I love him.
For the love of God, don't vote for my father.
Oh, no, Frankie would tell, no. Frankie would be like, that dude, he's just like me.
We're one of the same. If you love me, you'll love him.
You'll love my dad. Apparently, Pakistan is having a problem with its pilots. They have 860 active pilots, and it appears that 30% of them, or 150 of them, don't have a pilot's license. They have fake licenses.
That's supposed to be a problem?
Do you want to go and fly Pakistani Airlines?
No.
Well?
No, I'm not. I don't want. That's a lottery I don't want to play. I don't want to play the lottery where do I get a guy who has a pilot's license or woman, or don't I get a pilot with a license? I'm not playing that game with an airline.
Yeah.
It's the worst bet if that many of them don't have a license.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't want my pilot to have a license. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like it's important. That's what
I'm. On Friday, an arbitrator upheld San Antonio Police Chief William McManus' second termination. He was fired because apparently he served a homeless man a feces sandwich.
Yo.
Dude.
The homeless man doesn't have enough on us. You got to go out.
It ain't bad enough for him.
You got to go. You know, was it a human feces sandwich?
I don't care what kind of feces sandwich it was.
It's not a question of which feces is better. I'm just thinking of logistics. Because if it's human feces, is he collecting his own and putting it on a sandwich? Because if he has a dog, he might have grabbed dog poo.
Why would you do that?
Exactly.
I don't care what kind of feces sandwich it was. I'm just trying to figure out
how nuts this guy is. Was he collecting his own?
Worst.
It's insane. The homeless guy, certainly hungry. And you decide to feed him with a feces sandwich. Look, I don't know if capital punishment should be in place for this, but prison time and just because you're an awful person should be on the table.
And this guy went to an arbitrator to try to get his job back.
Nah, you shouldn't be. No. I don't think you're hireable at anything.
I don't think you're serving and protecting. That's what I don't think. Apparently, there are nearly 1.4 billion coronavirus relief payments have been sent to
dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, our federal government is on point.
You want to talk about efficient.
Yeah. And they're, you know, we can't do this. We can't fund education because there are money constraints. Maybe if you hadn't given $1.4 billion to dead people, you'd have some money. Even I don't ever buy the we don't have enough money excuse because they pulled money out of their ass for the stimulus checks to begin with. 1.4 billion of dead people.
Yeah, dead people. 1.4 bill. Yep. But yeah, let's make sure we cut back on education funding. It's America. 2020 never stops giving. We're done. We're taking next week off. We got guys coming in for us. Keep on listening, and we'll be back on July 6th. I hope you all have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk to you all then. The Press Box up next here on ESPN 97.5. So long, Bear.
ESPN 97.5.